Hugh Dillon, you guys know him. He is the lead member of the legendary Canadian rock band, the Headstones. Danse, and welcome back to 89.3 The Raven, Hugh.
Hey, man, how are you?
Cannot complain. Now, I know you guys are coming to town. You're coming back. You've been through here many, many times, but you're headlining the Beaumont Music Festival. When it comes to Edmonton here, you know, you guys have been there how many times now? Is there any fond memories that you, maybe shareable memories, that you can share with us when I say the word Edmonton?
It's just every single gig has been on fire. It's just there are certain towns that are crazy good music towns. And Edmonton is, you know, we just played last year for the Flight Risk and sold out. Killer crowd. It doesn't matter what night of the week it is. People call in sick. there's just something about it. I'm shooting my show, Mayor of Kingstown in Pittsburgh now, and they've got a similar live, you know, their sports teams and their live music things. You can see it in certain towns. They're just hardworking, rock and roll loving, take no shit kind of folks.
Yeah.
And I dig it.
Awesome. Now, you guys, you know, you guys have been around rocking out for like over 20 years now, and very few bands in Canada, you know, aside from, you know, the other iconic bands like The Hip and bands like this that have lasted that duration of time of over 20 years. How do you guys manage to just, you know, stay on top of your game and stay relevant after all these years?
You gotta love it. It's got nothing to do with anything but that. It's like, you know, the art of writing the song and performing it live, and you've got to love it. And we're lucky that we laugh our asses off and we get along. And, you know, that's the name of the game. It's like, would you do it if you weren't getting paid to do it or you weren't successful? And if the answer is yes, then you find a way. It's like, you've got to be driven to do it. That's it. And also, you know, I hate meaningless music. So this isn't algorithms. This isn't song written by committee. This is, you know, the same guys that have, you know, we've been together since we were in our 20s. And that is really it. And it's sharing that human experience together. It's like, you know, births, deaths, tragedy and excitement of life. And, I at one point in time never thought I would see the entirety of this country. You know, and that is something. That's something that you realize when you're a musician. It's like, Jesus Christ, I'm seeing the country. Because otherwise I would have, you know, never left Ontario or left Kingston. You know, I might have. You know, it's just an exceptional group of guys that I, you know, we just kind of found a way to really exploit life.
Yeah, like you say, you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, you got the perfect group of guys that, you know, you can spend this many years with and on a tour bus, and you guys don't want to kill each other every day, right? So you might as well stick it out for another 20 years, right?
you enjoy the company. You start to it's this pursuit of writing, you know, a perfect song, or, you know, and in our case, just the genre of you know, real rock and roll. I, you know, drank with Lemmy from Motorhead when I was 19 in England. I grew up with Gord Downie. I, you know, the whole band has had these crazy. Tim studied bass in at Berkeley. You know, Trent went to the Ontario College of Art, and he's has always done our artwork. It's like a our roots go back to, we're so, you know, very ancient. You know, in dog years, we're like a million. We're like weird vampires of Canadian rock. It's like, we go back to the 70s and, you know, our brothers and sisters' records from the 60s. And we started very young. So I saw blues players playing K Kingston, you know, and you name it. I saw BTO in Ottawa. You know, I drove to Ottawa from Kingston to see them at Barrymore. There was a band called Teenage Head that were huge. You know, I saw the first incarnation of the Tragically Hip when they had a saxophone player. So it's like we are ancient.
Well, we talked about you talking a little bit about songwriting, and as a songwriter myself, I want to just pick your brain a little bit. You know, with some of these, you know, you've written so many amazing songs. Do you have a process? Do you like usually, you know, work from the hook line and chorus out, or does it just kind of come to you in different variances for different songs?
It can come. You just gotta be ready to write it down when it comes to you. You know, you could be in a argument with a, I got pulled over and had a ticket the other day. It could be an argument with a cop, you know, for example, or some dumb shit. And you will find a way to say something that you go, I got to remember that, you know, or the emotion that the music brings out. You know, you will, if you can get out of your own way, you know, the mind is an incredible thing. It will find words for things and emotions and phrases. And, you know, if you just do that, get out of your own way, and then it's encapsulated in whatever kind of music you play. It's like, you know, you're trying to say something truthful if you're good at songwriting, and something that's unique to you, and something that you're trying to express something that you can't express in any other way. And when you realize that, you know, then it's unique and it's special, and you're shocked that you came up with it. Like, for example, the dynamic of the band is we are, you know, we forget what each other does. And by that, I mean, we have so little respect. We laugh all the time. So we have such little respect for the instruments and songwriting that each other does until we play live or we're in the studio. It's like Trent, Tim, we just basically, the names for each other is loser. And so you see them do something like, oh, I forgot, you're really good at that. You know what I mean? It's just such, you just take shit for granted. You know, you just take each other for granted. And that's kind of the fun, because, you know, if you take it too seriously, you're going to kill each other. And then it's stupid. If you see the absurdity of life, and the absurdity of, you know, how we act as human beings sometimes, it's that you find the humor and the excitement and the who gives a shit. And that is rock and roll.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talked about, you know, spending time with Gord Downie when, you know, in the early days. And I'm sure you've sat beside so many of these great Canadian writers. If you could sit and write one song with even somebody that is no longer with us in Canadian history, who would that one writer be to co-write a song with you?
Well, I will say that probably the biggest compliment that the band has ever gotten was we did a cover of Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, of, you know, the Gordon Lightfoot song. And to have that guy say, you know, that's a great cover. You know, because he is a quintessential songwriter, and his lyrics are so deep, and it was such a, you know, and he you know, that guy did it for decades.
Yeah.
And I would think that would be it. Just, you know, that song and that our cover version of that was not an easy task, because the thing is you can ruin songs by covering them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to cover a song, you're trying to, you know, honor it, have a unique take on it, and you're really trying to do something that's exciting for yourselves. And so that's, you know, you can tell a band's kind of influences by the covers they play, you know, and we've covered everything from Bob Dylan to Gordon Lightfoot to, you know, a couple of years ago, we played Kingston with the remaining members of the Hip for a charity thing. And, you know, we learned Little Bones, the Headstones did, and Small Town Bringdown. And, you know, we've covered tons of stuff, but I just find that, Gordon Lightfoot was just, you know, it goes back to songwriting. And that guy wrote songs.
Yeah, and I was going to say, my guess when I was, you know, coming up with this question was either going to be Gordon Lightfoot or Leonard Cohen. So, you know, when you said that, I was like, oh, okay, I got the guess right. Now, when it comes to your songs, you guys' catalog is so deep. And, of course, we're used to the radio staples that we play every day, the Tweeter and the Monkey Man, the Smile and Wave, the Three Angels. If a Headstones, someone who wasn't an everyday fan of the Headstones, had to dive into your catalog and do a deep dive into one particular track that you just love, what track would that be of the Headstones?
It's a tough call. I mean, you know, I think Devil's on Fire from the Little Army album, because it's us kind of very much evolved. It still has the harmonica in it. The lyrics resonate, and, you know, that, or, you know, it's tough. It's like, you know, we've got a rehearsal tonight and we're writing new songs. So it's like, I also on the last, record, I loved, Everything or Nothing at All. And the stuff that we play live are generally what we love, and it fits right in with the old catalog. Or Headlight Holds a Deer. It's just such a weird ass song, and you can tell they rock because it fits with the old ones. And then we play somewhere like Edmonton, and you know, if those songs don't work live, the audience lets you know. So that's always a great litmus test. If you can take a stranger kind of, or a new song that's slightly different, but if it has all the components, you know, it's exciting because it's new and it's not, you know, that's how we started. We started as songwriters, and then the live band just became an evolution of our drinking.
I love that.